From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Yesterday, the United States left the World Racism Conference going on in Durban, South Africa, and the decision continued to reverberate in the halls of the UN meeting today. Organizers tried to convince participants and observers that the conference was back on track after the U.S. pullout. Conference Secretary General Mary Robinson insisted delegates from the 160 remaining countries were moving forward on the most controversial issues. But, as NPR's Judy McCarthy reports, the question of reparations for slavery and colonialism is shaping up to be as divisive as the Middle East.
South African Foreign Minister and Conference President Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma opened today's session addressing the event that has turned the forum upside down. The withdrawal of the United States and Israel over draft documents that severely censure the Israelis over their handling of the occupied territories. Zuma's message registered both disappointment and disapproval of the pullouts.
We cannot build the kind of society that I think this conference seeks to build by ultimatums, red lines. We have to build that spirit of talking until we agree or until we agree to disagree.
Zuma moved quickly to take a fresh look at the conflict that has threatened to derail the conference. She removed all language pertaining to the Middle East from the draft declaration and is crafting new text. Even with the U.S. gone, the search for a deal remains daunting. The EU says it cannot sit still for condemnation of Israel as a racist state, while the Arab and Islamic states cannot imagine a conference on intolerance not making specific mention of Israel's treatment of the Palestinians. The UN's Mary Robinson suggested today that the final Durban documents may not even include the Middle East because the obstacles could prove insurmountable. There is growing fear that the same fate could befall the second major issue here, whether the countries that benefited from the slave trade and colonialism ought to apologize and pay reparations. Britain, Belgium, and other former colonial powers are adamantly opposed to any formal apology and reparations. Speaking through an interpreter, Germany's Foreign Minister Joschka Fischer spoke of the duty to acknowledge the past but stopped short of apologizing for it.
Past injustices cannot be made undone. Recognizing guilt, assuming responsibility, and meeting historical obligations must at least give back to the victims and their descendants the dignity of which they were denied.
It was Germany's past that Zimbabwe invoked when its justice minister took the floor. To thunderous applause, he called for reparations in the form of compensation for African nations and descendants of slaves in the New World. Patrick Chinamasa said the issue of reparations is now internationally recognized as part of legal jurisprudence.
We have the case of German reparations paid to the State of Israel for the Holocaust. We have the case of the United States reparations paid to Japanese Americans for their illegal internment during Second World War. And I ask a poignant question. Why reparations to Jews, American Japanese, and not to African Americans and Africans?
Representatives from European, Caribbean, and African delegations are holed up in the hotel complex that adjoins the conference center, poring over possible compromise language. A delegate close to the talks said they were not going well and that Europe seemed overly preoccupied with distancing the wrongs of colonialism from those of slavery. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Durban.